ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तं ज्येष्ठराजम् ऊतिभिः सीदसादनं श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् आत्मस्वरूपबन्धुगणं भूतग्रामस्य एवायम् भूत्वा भूत्वा प्रलीयते रात्र्यागमे वशः पार्थ भवत्यहरागमे परस्तस्मात्तु भावोऽन्यः अव्यक्तः अव्यक्तात् सनातनः यस्स सर्वेषु भूतेषु नश्यत्सु न विनश्यति. These two verses are very important verses. Together they constitute one subject matter. The contrast between the time-bound and the timeless. In the earlier class also I was presenting this contrast in some detail, as far as I remember. So, there is the time-bound, the phenomenon. And then there is the timeless, the noumenon. These two are there. You see, the reality, is it time-bound or is it timeless? So, either description does not apply to the reality. Right? You see, timeless is relative to time-bound. And time-bound is what happens when the timeless manifests. All manifestation brings out the time-bound from the timeless. Therefore, we look at the time-bound, that is the phenomenal world. In fact, in life we are bound by time. We are in the bondage of time. We say avidya, jnanam. And so this ajnana has many names. Suppose I say ragadvesha or ajnana, you can easily understand. You should not have any problem with that. I hope so. So, no, how can that be? Ragadvesha are important for life. If you start like that, then I don't know how to proceed further. So, ajnana manifests as ragadvesha. That is easily understood. But if I say ajnana manifests as time, you should be ready to understand that also. That is what it is. Ajnana manifests as time. So, the time-bound, it is there, and the timeless is there. Now, what is the truth? Truth is something which transcends the both. Truth is always transcendental. Always it is like that. That's why, in Vedanta, we come across this word para everywhere. Paratma. Paratma or Paramatma? One and the same. Para is Parama. Then, paraha, here it is coming. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha. Tu is on the other hand. And paraha. So, bhavaha, everything is bhava. Bhutva praliyate. So, earlier verse. Bhutva is bhava only. Bhusattayam, that is the verb. So, from that verb alone, verbal root, from that alone, bhutva comes. And bhavaha also comes from that. Therefore, there is a bhava which is time-bound, bhutva praliyate, and there is a bhava which is timeless, paraha. So, and then here, there are three occasions where the word avyakta is used in Gita. Here we are coming to the word avyakta. Here itself, the avyakta is used in two ways. Avyaktaha, avyaktat sanatanaha. So here itself you have two avyaktas, not one. Because one avyakta is prathamayakavachanam, ఫస్ట్ కేస్. ది సెకండ్ అవ్యక్త ఇస్ పంచమే ఏకవచనం. ద ఫిఫ్త్ కేస్ దేర్ ఫర్ టూ అవ్యక్తాస్. సో సపోజ్ యూ సే రామ, ది కాంటెంపరీ ఆఫ్ రామ. నా హౌ మెనీ ఆర్ రామాస్ ఆర్ దేర్? వన్ ఆర్ టూ? టూ. వై? ది ఫస్ట్ రామ ఇస్ ప్రథమ ఏకవచనం, ది సెకండ్ రామ ఇస్ షష్ఠీ ఏకవచనం ఆఫ్ రామ, రైట్? సో సిమిలర్లీ అవ్యక్త ఫ్రమ్ అవ్యక్త, హౌ మెనీ అవ్యక్తాస్ ఆర్ దేర్? టూ ఆర్ దేర్. In fact, in Gita there are three avyaktas. Two are here, one more avyakta is elsewhere. Atma is avyakta. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam. Second chapter, Sankhya Yoga. In second chapter there is a section called Sankhya. You can call it Yoga also. Everything is Yoga. So in Gita, so Sankhya it is. That section begins with the 11th verse, Ashochyanam Vashochastvam, and then ends with 30th verse. Exactly 20 verses. 20 or 21? Whatever. 20. So that is Sankhya. And in that Sankhya, Atma is presented in all its glory. If you want to know something about Atma, you just refer to those 20 verses. That's it. The entire Gita Shastra that follows, not only Gita Shastra, Gita Bhashya, the entire Vedantic literature is an elaboration of those 20 verses. Or you can put it the other way. Those 20 verses are the essence of the entire philosophic vision of Atma. Atma is you. And the entire vision of the Upanishadic philosophy is contained, or is it is collected in that group of 20 verses. There Atma is presented as avyakta. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate tasmadevam viditvainam nanushochitum arhasi. Atma is avyakta, unmanifest. So if Atma is unmanifest, so what do we get out of it? So what is its connection? Atma is unmanifest, achintya. So it is indescribable and unthinkable, unknowable. That is achintya. If Atma is that, what do we get out of it? For us, everything must be something we should get out of it, you know. What is in it for me? Yeah, there is something in it for us. That is nanu shochitum arhasi. The shoka comes to an end. What more we want? Shoka. Shoka is the dukkha, the suffering, so which could be very gross or which could be very subtle. Suppose there is some small tension in you, that is called shoka. Suppose you are enjoying something, you are partying, and then suddenly you remember, my car is outside. Then you forget, immediately you forget it. Do like that and forget it. But still that is shoka. Don't think that party is all sukha only. There is no sukha and shoka is there. Sukshma it is. Sukshma. Suppose I purchase a diamond ring and put it. It is all joy, joy. All the people around are jealous of him. I am sympathetic to that fellow. I am telling you. I will not be jealous for God's sake. Because the poor guy is now in the bondage of this diamond ring, which is affection. And so, I am sympathetic to him. I am not jealous. But all people around him are jealous of him. But the person, he looks up like this, but he is not comfortable. He is very uncomfortable. That is called shoka. And when will be he comfortable, you know? Take out and throw it, then he will be comfortable. He will be comfortable, I tell you. Freedom. So, shoka. That shoka is there in our life. And when we are struggling for all the things of the world, you see, life is a battle, I tell you. Today I decided not to stay with the verse. I go whatever way I go. Verse or no verse. So, life is a battle. Battle ho gaya life. All struggle and struggle and struggle. So, to make money, it is a struggle. Except for sadhus, it is a struggle to make money. So, true. So, it is not easy. Money won't come to the trees and plants. You have to go and work and create a new software and make money. It is not easy. And then, to enjoy sense pleasures, my God, it's a struggle. It's a lifelong struggle. Sense pleasures. They are called pleasures, but the pursuit of sense pleasures is such a huge struggle that it is an endless misery, I tell you. So it's an endless misery. Then the goals of life, It's a struggle and struggle. Age, 70, 78 years of age is nothing. It just goes away in a jiffy. Very quickly time passes. We are growing, we are becoming elderly, the struggle doesn't come to an end. As a brahmachari, I was struggling. Brahmachari means unmarried. As a married person, of course, it is all struggle. Then as a grandparents, another kind of struggle. Parents, one kind of struggle. Grandparents, another kind of struggle. And then eventually, they become great-grandparents also. Eventually. Nowadays, the earlier days, there used to be very rarely one person here and there who is a great-grandfather. Means he should cross 80. Then only the third generation will come up. But nowadays, everybody lives more than 80. And so everybody becomes a great-grandfather. And so there is no special occasion and all that. But now we have to create a special occasion, something else. So anyway, even the 80 years of age, it will pass just like that. So it is like a flash. Whole life is like a flash. But unfortunately, even as grandparents also, life is a struggle. And so it's a battle. It's a struggle. And then we adopt a religion to relax. But then religion is another huge struggle. Struggle and struggle and struggle. Then we come to Vedanta, and now convert the Vedanta also into a struggle. Now I have to know Atma. So it is another struggle, another goal. So you keep a goal and struggle to reach that goal. This is a human mind works like that. Please think about it. Why should anybody go to Everest top? Why should anybody go? Why? God bless them. They are in the history books and they are remembered with great respect and love. I also will do the same thing. But it is the human mind which puts a goal. Higher, the better. Higher is the better. So the human mind comes out with such goals. And so the goal is to scale the Mount Everest. That is the goal. If there is another mount, then to scale that another mount becomes the goal. So, to reach that goal. And then, suppose somebody wins, say, Grand Slam, a tennis match he wins. So, then they say he won the Grand Slam, so he should be happy. No, he should not be happy. Why? Because somebody else won one time extra than him. So, he is still smaller only than that somebody. Now, therefore, the goal for him is to win as many as the other person has won. And therefore, now what he has won is nothing. It is all sadness only because he has to struggle. That moment the struggle begins. Life is like that. I passed BSc and I was happy for 3 minutes, I remember. For 3 minutes I was happy because already the struggle for MSc began. Pass MSc, the struggle for PhD began. Pass PhD, the struggle for married life begins. Come to married life, it is all a struggle. And it should end at some point, the struggle should end. That is called shoka abhava. That struggle is the shoka. And therefore, the understanding of the reality of the Atman, what am I? The answer to that question is the knowledge of the self. And that understanding, it ends all the struggle. And it works both ways, I told you. So this lakshya and lakshana, they work both ways. Like sthitaprajna lakshana takes you to the level of sthitaprajna. And so therefore, first to reach that knowledge of the self, to gain the self, so stop struggling. Stop struggling. Then you are already closer to your innate nature, which has no struggles in it. Anyway, so the point is, the understanding of the self, it has a glorious purpose associated with it. Nanu shochitum arhasi. It is not some armchair philosophy. It is a very practical philosophy. It is not even philosophy. Philosophy is a wonderful expression. It is life. It is my life and your life. So we are exploring the life together. That is how it is. Anyway, so bhutva bhutva praliyate. Bhutva, again bhutva, so taking birth, again taking birth. So again, when it takes birth, we say, it is the dawn. So, aharagame. And then when it dies, we say it is the darkness, ratriagame. You see, in the phenomenal world and in the life which is driven by time, so the opposites are there. We are thrown between these opposites. On one side, we are with the birth, and the next moment, we are with the death, because they are the opposites. So in life, what we do is, we somehow divorce the death from the birth. The fact is, there is no birth, there is no life without death. And so all life has death in it. And death signifies life. So you should never divorce one from the other. So if birth is an event, then death is an equally important event. So you cannot separate one from the other. So what we do in life, we separate them. And having separated them, they should not be separated. They are opposites, but there is no opposition. We should know that. They are opposites, but there is no opposition. Like North Pole and South Pole, they are the opposite poles, but there is no opposition because they are one. The North Pole and South Pole are one. They are not, there is no opposition. They are opposites, all right, but they are one. So similarly, birth and death are opposites, but there is no opposition. They are one. And that one where they resolve, that is immortality. Therefore, there is an important distinction between the time-bound and the timeless. So in the time-bound, there are always opposites. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Bhutva is the birth, praliyate is the death. Ratri, agame, ratri, and ahaha, day, night. They are the opposites. So, suppose as we move along with the earth, there is ahaha, there is ratrihi. Ahaha is day, and ratrihi is night. As we move along with the earth, there is a ratri and there is day. But you see, when there is no movement, there is neither day nor night. Also, when you let there be the movement, when you transcend the movement, again there is no night, there is no day. Only as long as we move with the earth, there is day and there is night. Suppose you leave the earth behind and go into the open space and now stop moving with the earth. You should not be anywhere around in the atmosphere, because the atmosphere also moves with the earth. If the atmosphere doesn't move with the earth, then we don't need these flights and all that. So what all we have to do is just to go up and stay there for 5 minutes and come down. You will now come down in New York, because the earth is moving like that. And so you think about it. Suppose the earth is moving like that with a particular speed. So I go up and I am not moving. The earth is moving. And so I come down. So I go up and come down in New York. I need not travel longitudinally, right? Because the earth is moving. But that doesn't happen like that. Why that doesn't happen? So suppose I throw ball up here, it should land in Stroudsburg, because by the time ball comes down, I am not there, I have moved. And the point is, the ball also moves. The entire atmosphere moves. Therefore, you have to leave the atmosphere behind and go up. You have to cross the atmosphere. Then the movement of the earth has nothing to do with you. Now you don't move. And now you don't have a day, and you don't have this day-night opposites are not there. Therefore, that is the timeless paraha. So, this way, so bhutva bhutva praliyate. There is something which has taken birth and which will die. But then, there is something else which never takes birth and which never dies. Both are here. Both are not at different places. Where there is time-bound, in that, the essence, the core, is the timeless. So, like that, the paraha, tasmat to paraha. Then, you see, bhutva bhutva praliyate. So, the body comes and the body goes. The birth and death. And then, there is one that neither takes birth nor dies. So, we spend a lot of mental effort and energy to understand What was I before this birth? What will I be after this death? And what I am between this birth and this death? Like that, we spend a lot of time. Theory of reincarnation. Somebody says it is, I don't accept it. So, like that we spend lot of time in that arena. So, birth, death arena. Just it is enough, you rise above that and understand that you are not going to take birth, nor you are going to die. Now, all these theories and all these disputations are over for you. But we don't want to do that. That is our problem. So once you atma ajaha, oh, what happened, all your theories are now irrelevant, you know. They don't have any more relevance. It is like the person who has withdrawn from the stock market, for him the ups and downs, they don't mean anything anymore. Let them go up or let them come down, he doesn't make any sense, a difference for him. So similarly, so bhutva bhutva praliyate, so we need not be in that. We can rise above all that. And you see, life, what is the secret of life? What is the glory of life? That is something which is to be understood now and here. Suppose you understand what will happen after death, then you will have to wait, you know, for all that to verify and all that. Whereas, what is the secret, what is the reality that transcends the opposite? Opposites, the birth and death. So, to know that, you need not wait for anything. You can know it now and here. So, that's why paraha. Even bhutva bhutva, even the three states, you can take it into account. The waking state begins and ends. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ratriyagame aharagame. That's why I am taking the waking state. The day break. It begins, the waking state. And so the day ends and the waking state ends. So bhutva bhutva. So we wake up and we go to sleep. Again we wake up and again we fall asleep. Again wake up, again fall asleep. It is going on and on and on. And there is something which does neither wake up nor sleeps. And that something you see, that reality, so that is called unmanifest. So manifest, unmanifest. And then there is manifest is the waking state, dream state, etc. And there is something unmanifest. Then there is the reality, which is the avyakta, which is neither manifest nor unmanifest. So avyaktat paraha avyaktaha. So now, three avyaktas are there, I told you. One avyakta is prakruti. This prakruti is called avyakta. It is called like that in Gita. Prakruti is called avyakta. A verse is coming, avyakta saujnyake. Like that he says, and he presents prakruti as avyakta. You see, prakruti is saprajastamo gunatmika prakruti. That is avyakta. I will show you how it is. You see, this is a standard example of alata you take. So the torch whirling example, very interesting example. We have to consider it any number of times. That is an example which moved the philosopher's imagination since generations. It was first mentioned by Gaudapadacharya, and since that date till to date, that example it shines brilliantly, firing the imagination of philosophers. So the example is alata example. So you just imagine an agarbatti, an incense stick with a glow, and then in the dark room, so that the thing is very clear. And then I am whirling that glow, that stick. Now you see only the glow, you don't see the hand and other things, only the glow you see. The glow is now stable, not moving, it is not moving at all, motionless. Now the glow is moving. So, now because of the movement, you see all kinds of figures and drawings. For example, if I move like this, you see a circle. If I move like this, you see an ellipse. I can move like this and make you see eight. So, like that, any number of geometrical figures I can create out of that glow. Now, what you see, all these geometrical figures, they are the vyakta. manifest. Right? Then, what is it that is unmanifest? So, the unmanifest is avyakta. What is it? There must be an unmanifest, because without unmanifest, there cannot be a manifest. So, these figures, they are appearing because of movement. And so, they are, that is called kinetic. And what is the unmanifest for the kinetic? Potential. That is the unmanifest, right? That is how we call it. So, water flowing is kinetic. Why the water is flowing? Because it was sitting there. While sitting, there is a potential in it. Because of that potential, it is now flowing. Similarly, so, all the figures are manifest. You see, the figure you cannot have without movement. You can have the figure only in movement. You say, yeah, it's a circle. Now, is it a circle or is it a movement that appears as circle? It is a movement that appears as circle. But we end up believing that it is circle. And then we give some epithets to that. Some words we add. Suppose you add a few adjectives to that, then your chance of discovering the truth is gone forever. Now you say, that circle is beautiful. Therefore, there is a circle which is ugly. Then that circle is small. Therefore, there is another circle which is big. Therefore, you have translated a movement into mental forms. This is what is called vacharambhanam vikaro namadheyam. Mental forms. Now, those forms are in your mind. If I say they are in your mind, you say, no, no, what are you talking? They are outside. Yeah, this is the problem. What is outside is inside, and what is inside is outside. That is the problem. So, I tell you, whatever you perceive is always in you only. You never think even for a second that whatever you perceive is outside. Because whatever is perceived, it is already in the sphere of your perception. Then only you perceive it. If it is not in the sphere of your perception, how are you going to perceive it? So the fact that you perceive it puts it in the space of your perception, the perceptive consciousness. It is already in it. Therefore, nothing is outside. It looks as if it is outside. So, anyway, so these figures, they are movement. But the mind translates movement into objects. Because of the crudity, the mind is crude and sluggish, and it translates the movement into objects. For example, all forms, like body is a form, and it's a movement. Body is a movement. Like the whirling creates a movement, so body is a movement. So instead of understanding the body as a movement, we prefer to take it as a thing. And once you look at the body as a thing, that now you are bound to the body by a calamitous mistake, I tell you. Now, as long as that mistake persists, there is no liberation at all. Because the very fundamental mistake it is like looking at the rope and assuming it to be snake. Very fundamental mistake. And until and unless you correct that mistake, what all you do about it will not liberate you. So that fundamental mistake we have to correct, but we don't want to correct it. That is our problem. We don't want to correct anything. We want to absorb all new into the old and keep the old intact. So that way no revolution will happen. That inner revolution is needed, you know. Therefore, so the forms, they are nothing but movements. The movement is there for a while and then it stops. Ratriyagame. The night comes and then it stops. The day comes, the movement begins. It is now the time. Day and night, they are the time. Time judges governs the movement. Therefore, when you are whirling this thing, so you see the forms. Now the forms, they have originated from where? That is the question. You can answer in two ways. The forms have originated from the movement, you can say. That movement. You see, now the movement itself is twofold. One is the movement which is manifest in the form of forms, and the movement which is potential, that is the unmanifest. Right? Now, water is flowing, you have kinetic energy. Water is not flowing, you have potential energy. But water to hai na? There is water. And so the potential energy is the unmanifest. The kinetic energy is the manifest. And but then there is something which is beyond, which transcends the both kinetic energy and potential energy. What is that? Water. Water is independent of potential energy and kinetic energy. Just take the example only that much. Don't go into further physics of that. Just only that much. We limit the example only to the point which I am trying to make. So water is neither potential energy nor kinetic energy. Between the two, kinetic is vyakta and potential is avyakta. But water is something which transcends both. Therefore, water now we put in another category. That category is also, we call it avyakta. Let us call it like that, in the example. Because water intrinsically has no form. What is the form of water? It has no form. That's why it can take any form. It takes the form of the container. Because intrinsically it has no form. So that is the meaning of the word vyakta and avyakta. Vyakta is one which has a form. And avyakta means formless. You take it like that. Therefore, water is avyakta. And the potential energy of the water is avyakta. And the movement of the water in various forms, appearing as various forms, that is vyakta. Now you have two avyaktas there, right? So that is the verse. Avyaktaha avyaktat paraha. Now coming to this whirling of the torch example, so there the forms are vyakta. You see and you say. See and say. See and say. See the form and say circle. See, seeing and saying, they are two important things. Vacharambhanam vikaraha. Vikaraha is seeing. Vacharambhanam is saying. They go together. And you can break also. You can see without saying. That is a wonderful training, really. I will come to that. So, you see forms and give a name to the forms. You don't say circleness is intrinsic to the form. There is no such thing. Circle is the name given by your mind to the form. So don't assume even for a second that what you call circle, that status of being a circle, the circleness is something intrinsic to that form. Don't assume like that. It is your assumption. Necklessness is not something intrinsic to the thing that you are looking at. Necklessness is a mental concept and it's a name. Name only, namadheyam. And that's why necklessness is not intrinsic to the gold. It is not even something attached to the gold temporarily. It is entirely the mental concept. Namadheyam. And a poor gold, he doesn't know anything about necklace or any such thing. It is neither the necklace nor the non-necklace. It is just transcendental. So, therefore seeing and saying are two very different things. I will come to that. So, this movement is there. This movement is vyakta. And the potential, that is called shakti in Sanskrit, the potential is called shakti. The potential, that is the word we say. Shiva and shakti. So, the potential to create these forms, that is, you can only call it the potential of movement. That is the shakti. And another name for that is maya. We like to give that name. Shruti gave that name. Very logical name too. Maya is not an attempt to gloss over it. It is not an attempt. Maya is after careful consideration of the situation, when You cannot categorize it in any particular fashion, you cannot put it into any particular mental category, then we call it Maya. So Maya is a statement of fact. Maya is not imagination or any such thing. So we'll come to that. Therefore, that Shakti, you can call it Maya Shakti for this reason, that is Avyakta. But the glow, what is that glow? That glow, is it attached to this Avyakta Maya Shakti? No. You see, that glow is glow. Because of the movement, you see forms, and now you have to explain the forms, and so you invoke a thing called Shakti, and because you cannot categorize it in any particular way, therefore you call it Maya Shakti. So, Maya Shakti, the word Maya is an acceptance of the fact that mind is over. Mind's power of categorization is over. And in that acceptance, you use the word Maya. In English, we call it magic. Don't think that magic is a category in its own. Magic is not a category. If you can categorize, if you can rationalize, you don't call it magic. So magic is a word that that is an admittance of defeat. Not defeat, admittance of inability. So with this mind, I cannot rationalize it. And that's why it is magic. You see, in those days they say, in Brazil there were rubber trees. And these rubber trees, they were exuding a gum. And these people, they used to collect that gum. The aborigines, they don't know what is the purpose of this gum. They collect it. And when they collect it, or it gets collected, it falls on the ground, nobody taps. Then it falls on the ground and it gets collected. And so eventually, it acquires a spherical shape, roughly spherical shape. Like a snow, if it moves, it acquires a spherical shape. Some forces, gravitational forces, etc., are in operation. And so this rubber mass, when it was a fluid state, so it acquires a spherical shape. And then it becomes dry in that shape. And so these people take it into hand. And suddenly it drops off the hand and it falls and then jumps. Now these people are accustomed to a different experience. Anything like stone, etc., anything that falls, it breaks, it doesn't jump. That is their experience. Now they came across a substance. It falls and jumps. Thus they say, oh my God, this is a spirit. This is Maya. This is magic. Like that they say. So that word is an admittance of the inability of the mind to grasp. That is the word Maya. Even the word Avyakta is like that. Once you say Vyakta, yes, I can talk about it, I can rationalize it. Avyakta is not another mental category. Avyakta is something which cannot be categorized by the mind. That is what Avyakta. So anyway, so the potential is there, that potential is Avyakta, that is the Maya Shakti. Now the Paramatma or the Parabrahman it transcends that Maya Shakti also. That means, it is neither the manifest kinetic energy nor the unmanifest potential energy. Then what is it? It is paraha. Already unmanifest is paraha. With reference to the manifest, unmanifest is paraha. So with reference to the unmanifest also, it is paraha. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha avyaktaha anyaha anyaha vilakshanaha. It is distinct. And tasmat avyaktat, from that Maya Shakti. So then, what is the manifest? Bhutagramaha, bhutva bhutva priliyate, that is the manifest. So now all the three are presented there in a proper sequence. So bhutagramaha means the collection of things. Collection of bhuta is living as well as non-living. That is bhuta. Bhavantiti bhutani. Or bhuta is panchabhutas. So that includes living and non-living. This bhutagrama and these living beings and all objects, this and that, bhutva bhutva, they happen and unhappen. Priliyate. Bhutva happening, unhappen. Happen, unhappen. When? Time. Day, night. Day, night is some names given to the movement of time. So day they happen, day comes, they happen. Now it comes, they unhappen. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. And this happening and unhappening, it is governed by the potential, the maya shakti, which is avyakta. And from, with reference to that avyakta, panchami is always with reference to. So with reference to that maya shakti, the paramatma is paraha, transcendental. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha. So the para, another name is given to that para. It is coming, next verse it is coming. Bhashyakara, avyaktokshara ityahu. The para, that transcendental reality, is called akshara. Why should you call it akshara? You see, that is the origin from which all these vyakta, the things are happening. The things, they happen and unhappen. Bhutva praliyate. Birth, death, etc. So they are time bound. So the time bound means birth and death. That is the time bound. That word time bound means just that much. Something is born in time and hence it dies in time. That is called time bound. And the reality is not time bound. Akshara it is. Naksharati. Ite aksharaha. One that which doesn't take birth, which doesn't die and hence which is not time bound, it is called aksharaha. That akshara, a beautiful name given to that reality. It is the reality of what? Reality of the entire appearance of the universe. The phenomenal universe. Universe is an appearance. Drushyate, jagat drushyate. Jagat is a pratiti. Pratiti, it is a drushyate. See, pratyaya, they say, pratyaya. Pratyaya is a thought modification. And the content of the thought modification is called pratiti. That is jagat. Jagat pratiti matram. Outside the content of the thoughts, there is no jagat. So, that pratiti is one thing. So, that's why jagat is pratiti. Jagat is not prapti. Prapti means gain. So, you cannot gain the pratiti. You can gain only the... Gain is prapti is gain. You can only gain yourself. Self is the reality. And it is ever accomplished. Therefore, you can only gain the self. You can never gain anything in the pratiti. Jagat is pratiti. What is that we gain in it? Only the notion of gaining is there. So I gained this, I gained that. What happened to all the gains that we have gained till now? What happened to all those gains? I gained youth. What happened to the youth? So, I gained a beautiful hairstyle. What happened to that? So, whatever word is a pratiti only. It appears as though I gained something. And then the opposite also appears. I gained and I lost. Therefore, that's why in jagat there can be no prapti. Prapti is atma only. Anyway, so coming back to the point, this pratiti is there. What is the reality of the pratiti? You are saying the reality is a transcendental, paraha, but can you say something more than that? That is the pratiti. This pratiti, this appearance has its origin in maya shakti, and that reality is it transcends the avyakta also, it is superior to the avyakta also. What is that? What is that prati? What is that origin of this pratiti as well as origin of that maya shakti? What is that? It is paraha. Are bhai, paraha only, but what is that? You say something more? Parabrahman. You say like that. What is the idea of that? You see, every object is there. Multiple objects are there. And the Brahman is not one more object. In fact, it is immanent in the entire universe of objects. Every object in its core is Brahman only. So Brahman is not one more vastu. It is the only vastu that is the core of all these objects. That is Brahman. I tell you how. Suppose you see a circle. What is the core essence of that circle? Glow. That glow is the core essence of that circle, right? And suppose you see a rectangle in that whirling of the torch, you see a rectangle. What is the core essence of that rectangle? So like this, any number of figures you may see, they all have the same core essence. That is the glow of the torch, right? So similarly, you are looking at so many objects of the world, living, non-living, this and that. Living, non-living is one kind of a categorization. You see, strictly speaking, if you examine that categorization, it falls. It doesn't stand. Suppose you say living. Okay, you show me the living. What can you show? You show the body. I tell you, body is never, you imagine that body is living. It never lived. So one Mahatma said there is no death. Why? Because life has no death, consciousness has no death, but what about body? It never lived. It never lived. It has to live to die. Body is a shavam. It is a corpse, no one here. We have the standard example, four people carrying a body to the cremation ground in India, Tiruvannamalai, Bhagavan Manumaharshi site. And so a discussion went, small dialogue. And so Ramana Maharshi said, four cadavers carrying a fifth cadaver. That is what he said. So body is always a cadaver. It is all. That's why when they do surgery, etc., they do exactly the same way. Whether they do for a cadaver, for some reason they have to do there, or they do here, they do exactly the same way. They don't do any other way. Maybe they have a feeling that we are dealing with a living person, but they are dealing with a dead body only. Anyway, in philosophy, the body is a dead body. Therefore, where is the death? Therefore, when you say living, what is living? You show me. You have to show me the living. So body you show me. I say body is non-living. Now, can you show living? You cannot show living. Okay, come to the non-living. You show me a stone. I say there is life in it. There is life in that stone. So, what happened to your categorization? Living, non-living. I will convert the living into non-living, and I will convert the non-living into living. This is called Vitandavada. Vitandavada means Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta is called Vaitandikas. We call ourselves Vaitandikas, Sriharsha. So, Vaitandika means a person who presents the subject matter without any topic to be established. He doesn't have anything to establish. So, the division living, non-living is there. Okay, now I say this division is wrong. Why? Because living is non-living and non-living is living. Therefore, it is wrong. Okay, bhai, agreed. You tell what it is. I don't have anything to say. This is called Vaitandika. So, really. Anyway, therefore, your division has no meaning. So, the core essence of everything is Brahman only. Therefore, don't imagine for a second also that the living has one core and a core essence and the non-living has another core essence. Both are Brahman. Everything is Brahman. So, that Parabrahman, I have arrived at the word Parabrahman. Then what am I? If the core essence of the entire universe is called Parabrahman for the purpose of communication, you cannot name it, you know. To name it, it must have some visheshata, some particularity it must have. Ghataha. So, why do you call it ghata? It is called Shabda Pravritti Nimitta. What is it that made you call it ghata? Shabda Pravritti Nimitta, right? So, you see it and speak. So, there is something in it which made you say part. What is that? So, that is called Shabda Pravritti Nimitta. That is called partness. Ghatatva. It is called Jati in Sanskrit. Partness. And this I say flower. Now again, Shabda Pravritti Nimittam Kim. What is it that made you say this is flower? Flowerness. Now, okay. Now you tell me, Potness and flowerness, are they one and the same or different? No, they are not one and the same. They are different. How they are different? Potness is different from flowerness. Flowerness is different from potness. This is called visheshata. That visheshata means vyavartakatvam. It is something distinct and unique from everything else, with reference to everything else. That is the visheshata. That visheshata must be there for shabda pravrutti. And it is nirvishesha. The truth is nirvishesha. Brahman is not savishesha. Brahmana, vishesha. Kshatriya, vishesha. Shudra, vishesha. Vaishya, vishesha. Brahman, no vishesha. Nirvishesha. Therefore, Brahman has no vishesha whatsoever. If it has no vishesha, then shabda pravrutti is not there. Vishesha, shabda pravrutti itself is gone. And yet, we use a word. We put a name to the nameless and unnameable. We put a name. That kind of a name is Brahman. To make it very clear that it is unnameable, it is nameless, and it is not phenomenal, it is transcendental. To make that very, very clear, because once we say Brahman, you start imagining something and start worshipping it. Worship is okay, but you make it the other already. Therefore, don't do that. It is para, parabrahman. And what is that parabrahman? Then, coming to myself, what is the inner core of reality of myself? Because there is this I sense. That I sense is a glow. So, you see, it is all, that I sense is always a glow. Samspuradatma tattvam. Ratasmarami, so samspuradatma, hrudi, samspuradatma tattvam, Shankara. So it is always a glow. I. Always. It is not one unbroken I, no. It is not. It is always a samspurat. That spurat is like that. I. Like a star. Star somehow it blinks. So, that I-ness is there, I-thought. This I-am-ness. And what is the inner reality of that I-am-ness? What is the core? So, that core, it transcends all the vishesha of the I-am-ness. I-am-ness is a kind of avyakta. I am father. So, this fatherhood is the manifest of the I-am-ness. I amness manifests as father, because you cannot have father without I amness. I am alone manifests as father. So that I am is a kind of avyakta with reference to every vishesha, every description. But then the avyakta, which is the origin of this avyakta, is avyakta. That is the para. Again we have come to para. But now don't use the word Brahma, because we started the analysis with the knower and the known, and arrived at the essential core of the known as Parabrahman. And now, let us arrive at the essential core of the knower and give a name to it, and then understand that both are one and the same. That is the method. And so, para-atma, you can put a makara in it, no harm. But wherever you don't see makara, don't think that it is something else. Because in the books you get the word paratma, that is samasa. Without doing samasa it comes para-atma. There is no samasa there. Paraha-atma. So para-atma. Now, so you have para-brahma and you have para-atma. So now how many? They are one and the same. What is that? That one and the same, what is that? Bhavaha. Parastasmat tu bhavonyaha. That is bhavaha. Bhava. Bhava, how to translate bhava? Being. Some translation, you know. So being. Once I translated as beingness. Because for me, to make it as abstract as possible, is desired. I love it. Because you have to, no particularity can come anywhere near that. Therefore, make it as non-particular as you can. You see, as long as you look at the particular as real, you will not know the truth. Particular is not the real. Particular is a mental conception, a mental breaking down of the reality. That is what a particular is. So, the conceptual bits and pieces, or the particulars are conceptual bits and pieces. There are no particulars here in the creation. That is what the Shruti says. Sarvam khalvidam brahma nehan anasti kinchana. Nehan anasti kinchana means all the particulars that you are imagining, they are not there really. Any particular. So, nana is a multiplicity which arises out of particularity. Therefore, the particulars are not real. It is the abstract. It is abstract from the mind point of view. Not abstract, absolute, not abstract, absolute. It may appear as abstract, but it is not. It is absolute. So the absolute alone is real. To make it as absolute as possible, I mean possible means my habit is like that. I said beingness. Then my friend in Secunderabad told, come on, you cannot say ness there. Already ing is enough. Don't make it further. So I then withdraw. So withdraw the ness, just say being. Then I came across another Mahatma who is talking of beingness. Then I got validated in a way. So anyway, the being, bhavaha, the being. Oh, the being that is well known to us. Flower is. Flower is being only. What is being? No. Not that kind of being. It is not bhutva, bhutva being. Bhutva is also being. It is not that. Then what is this? Sanatanaha. So that bhutva, bhutva is what? That is ratriyagame, haragame. That kind of bhutva it is. Day comes, night comes. So time-bound bhutva. Time-bound being. But this is not time-bound. Sanatanaha. Sanatanaha means trikalabadhya. Trikalabadhyaha. So, you see, the kala, the flow of time is divided into three, as you know very well. Past, present and future. That is the trikala. And all the things, they are badhya. Badhya means get negated. They get negated. So, they get negated means you go behind, into the past, it will cease, it will not be there, it is not there anymore. So go past. So what is your date of birth? So I go past. 1950, go past. 40, no, not that past. 49, that is enough. 48, no. That means 48, you can go to 48, but in 48 I did not exist. Khatam. So that is badhya. Then future, 2010 hopefully, 2020 no, over. So that is badhya. So something which is not badhya, negated by time, that is called sanatanaha. Sanatanaha, a synonym is sadatanaha. Sada and sana, they are avyayas, they mean the same. So sadatanaha, sanatanaha, bhavaha. The being which is transcendental with reference to the particularities, and also with reference to the Maya Shakti, and which is timeless, that being. We'll come back to that being and discuss in the next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Guru Chonama Harihi Om Tatsat Shikshmar.